Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at @PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time for the Jets-Falcons pregame report. And so for that, we bring in our friend who is the owner and founder of WalterFootball.com, Mr. Walter Cherepinski. Walter, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, Scott. Thanks so much for having me on again. I can't wait to talk about this exciting Falcons-Jets game. But, you know, there are a lot of betting opportunities here, so I am actually excited for it. The draft is around the corner, so I guess in the future we'll be talking about that too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having you on regularly to talk about the draft, because I hate to say it, it's that time of year now, Walter. We thought it wasn't going to be this way this year because of Aaron Rodgers. Of course, he got hurt. So the Jets are back in familiar territory, which of course is fans talking about the draft. So we're going to start diving in on the prospects on the show with you. Anybody that doesn't go to your website, walterfootball.com, I always say you are the OG of year-round online NFL draft content. So you should be checking that out regularly, the work that Walter and his guy Charlie Campbell are putting out. But for this game, Walter, before we get into anything else, we should talk about the news. There was a release and a guy who's returning from injury that is likely to start, which will be a big help on the offensive line. First of all, Adrian Amos, the safety who was signed after Chuck Clark went down. Chuck Clark was supposed to be the Jets' solution to the tight end problem. He had been really good at covering tight ends in Baltimore. He's sort of a hybrid between a linebacker and a safety. Would have been a creative piece for Jeff Hurlbrick and Robert Saleh. He went down before the season. They went out and got Adrian Amos, Aaron Rodgers' old friend from Green Bay. But unfortunately for Adrian Amos, it just wasn't a good situation for him here. He was the third safety and ultimately was getting outplayed by Ashton Davis, a surprise to all of us, because Ashton Davis was one of those guys that the Jets picked in the third round a couple of years ago. A lot of athletic ability. You were hoping he would figure it out. He never did, until magically in his fourth and final season, he's starting to put the pieces together, playing the best football of his career. He's going to get more playing time. It's possible we see somebody like Trey Dean, who the Jets have had on the practice squad, the rookie out of Florida. And so there really wasn't a spot for Adrian Amos going forward. And for Amos, this gives him an opportunity to potentially get more playing time and catch on with a contender somewhere else. And the Jets will welcome back Justin Hardy, their captain on special teams, but more importantly, Wes Schweitzer, their backup guard slash center. He should re-enter the starting lineup, which will help the Jets out enormously because they have been having a lot of problems on the interior offensive line with all the injuries. That meant that, unfortunately, Xavier Newman, who did the best he could but just wasn't up to the task, he was released, and so he won't be here anymore. But the Jets and Adrian Amos parting ways amicably, by all accounts. It was something that both sides agreed on. Wes Schweitzer and Justin Hardy back. Schweitzer in particular should help. It's weird, Walter, when you're this excited about a second-string offensive lineman coming back, but if you've been watching what's been going on with the Jets' offensive line this year, you know exactly why fans are happy to see Wes Schweitzer.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about how bad the offensive lines have been throughout the league before we started recording. It's been pretty brutal. Scoring is way down this year. I can't remember a year in recent history that we've seen totals in the 30, 32 to 35 range. The last time I remember something like that was the pre-Peyton Manning no contact rules in the early 2000s. So, the scoring's been way down, and I think it's twofold. One, a lot of quarterback injuries, and obviously you had that with the Jets, but you also have some really bad blocking throughout the league. There are a handful of teams that block very well. They're still scoring a lot, but teams like the Jets who don't block well, they have trouble sustaining drives. And, getting a guy like Wes Schweitzer back, who has barely played this year, he can certainly help. Any addition to the blocking is very welcome for the Jets. So, he's not like a marquee player by any means, but he's definitely going to help.
Also, Mekhi Becton, a full participant in practice both on Thursday and Friday, which indicates to me that he probably will play in this game. Another boost for the Jets' offensive line. So that should help Tim Boyle, who gets the start against the Falcons today at MetLife Stadium. And with that, Walter, let's try and make people a couple of bucks. We'll go through the prop bets, and then we'll get to your picks from around the league. We'll start with the game spread and the over-under. The Falcons are -2, so they're 2-point favorites on the road against the Jets here at MetLife Stadium, and the over-under is 33.5.
Yeah, I like the Jets quite a bit here. I was going against the Jets last week against the Dolphins in the Black Friday game, and I just think that was way too much of a mismatch, and the Dolphins end up winning. With that help of that Hail Mary pick six, which is just crazy. But even if they didn't get that, they would have covered the spread. But this is a much different matchup. Atlanta is so much worse than Miami. Atlanta, in its previous two games on the road, they've lost to Tennessee and they've lost to Arizona. That Tennessee game, they made Will Levis look like John Elway. Like, Will Levis had an amazing game. He threw like deep passes left and right. He looked like the next great quarterback. And ever since that game, he has not played well at all. And then against Arizona, that was Kyler Murray's first game back, and Murray had that great play. I'm sure people remember it if they saw the highlights. It was like a 3rd and 15, and he ran for a first down at the very end to set up the game-winning field goal. And Murray has not played that well since then. He had some turnovers in the game against Houston, and then he just was horrible against the Rams. So the Falcons have made quarterbacks – some previous quarterbacks look great who are not very good. And so you have Tim Boyle here, who is kind of a disaster in college, despite playing for only Connecticut and Eastern Kentucky. I don't really know what he's doing in the NFL, but this is going to be a much easier matchup for him than Miami. I think people kind of don't really realize how good Miami's defense has been. Miami's defense is first in EPA, which is kind of insane. I took out that game against Tim Boyle, and they moved down to 7th. But still, like, Miami's defense has been so much better since Jalen Ramsey returned and a lot of their other defensive backs got healthy. Atlanta's defense took a hit when they lost Grady Jarrett. They've been worse against the run recently, so I think Breece Hall is going to have a good game. And by the way, the Falcons and also every single team in the AFC South, if they play out of the division this year, they're 10-24 against the spread, really 9-25 if you didn't have that closing number in the 49ers-Buccaneers game. So what happens is these horrible NFC South teams play each other. One beats the other, and people are like, "Oh, they're not bad. Well, let's make Atlanta a road favorite at the Jets for no reason." And I think the spread's mispriced. I think the Jets should be favored by 2, maybe 2.5. So we're getting a decent value. So I think the Jets win outright. It could really go either way, but I have a good feeling about the Jets. I think they win like something like 16-13 or maybe 16-10, 13-7, something like that.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Passing props. Tim Boyle is over under 0.5 touchdowns. Passing yards. Desmond Ritter over under 171.5. Tim Boyle over under 176.5. Pass and rushing yards combined. Desmond Ritter over under 192.5. Tim Boyle over under 179.5. Completions. Desmond Ritter over under 15.5. Tim Boyle over under 19.5. Pass attempts. Desmond Ritter over under 26.5. Tim Boyle over under 31.5. Interceptions. Both Ritter and Boyle are over under 0.5. And longest completion. Desmond Ritter over under 32.5. Tim Boyle over under 29.5. Walt, I don't know if there's anything in those props that stands out to me, but it is interesting that Tim Boyle has higher numbers in most of those categories than Desmond Ritter. It tells you a lot about how Vegas sees Desmond Ritter and not in a positive light.
Yeah, and also the defenses. I mean, like I said, the Falcons allowed Will Levis to look like John Elway. So, you know, maybe Tim Boyle has a decent game. I don't think I could touch that. If I had to bet Tim Boyle over or under, I think I'd probably go over because Atlanta's defense is so bad, but it's not something I want to look at. Desmond Ritter under looks pretty good, though. The under 171.5. You know, the Jets have made Josh Allen, at least in the first game, and Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts and Justin Herbert, they made all those quarterbacks look bad. Even Tua last week didn't have his best game by any means. So it's not even close to his best game. And now they got Desmond Ritter at home. So like it's going to be pretty bad for Ritter, who's been benched this year. I could see him struggling really badly. And, you know, if the Falcons fall behind, I think that Ritter could just self-destruct. And, you know, I would look at the Desmond Ritter over a half interception. I think that actually looks like the best passing prop. I think that Ritter could really melt down with multiple turnovers.
Receiving props, Bijan Robinson over under 17.5. I want to say that should be a shoe-in, but the way Arthur Smith is coached this year, I don't know if I could bet on that simply because he's so unpredictable. Breece Hall over under 27.5. Drake London over under 44.5. Garrett Wilson over under 51.5. Jeremy Ruckert over under 10.5. Jonnu Smith over under 17.5. Kyle Pitts over under 29.5. Tyler Conklin over under 22.5. Van Jefferson over under 10.5. Receptions. Bijan Robinson over under 2.5. Breece Hall over under 4.5. Drake London over under 3.5. Garrett Wilson over under 5.5. Jeremy Ruckert over under 1.5. Jonnu Smith over under 2.5. Kyle Pitts over under 2.5. Tyler Conklin over under 2.5. Longest reception, Bijan Robinson over under 10.5, Breece Hall over under 12.5, Drake London over under 19.5, Garrett Wilson over under 18.5, Jonnu Smith over under 11.5, Kyle Pitts over under 15.5, Tyler Conklin over under 11.5, Van Jefferson over under 9.5. Walt, like I said, I would like to say that it makes sense to bet on all the overs for Bijan Robinson. The only thing that would keep me from doing it is Arthur Smith. I just don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, I've been joking on the site and also our show, the After Dark show that we do on YouTube, that Arthur Smith just didn't know who Bijan Robinson was because he didn't watch the 2023 NFL draft. And so, like, maybe during the bye week, he caught a DVD, like, he bought the DVD of the 2023 NFL draft, and then he watched it, and he's like, oh, wow, this guy's pretty good. And so, like, that's why he, like, started using Bijan Robinson recently. So, like, it seems like Bijan's usage has been increasing recently. So I wouldn't be afraid of, I wouldn't be afraid too much of betting Bijan Robinson over receiving. The Jets have allowed a lot of receiving yardage to running backs. They are ranked in the top 10 in that regard. They're actually number 7 in allowing that. So it makes sense. And if the Falcons are behind, like I suspect they will be, then you know, they're going to throw the ball more to Bijan Robinson. So I like that a lot, the over 17.5 receiving yards for Bijan. Drake London under 44.5 looks I think pretty easy. I suspect he's going to be smothered by those cornerbacks that the Jets have. The Jets allow the fewest production to outside receivers. So like Drake London he's a pretty good player, but I think he's just going to be outmatched in this game, especially considering the quarterback. And then my favorite bet here is Tyler Conklin over 22.5 receiving yards. Conklin has eclipsed this, I think, three of his previous four games, if I'm not mistaken. But the big thing here for me is that Atlanta is just so bad against tight ends. They make every tight end they play against look like Tony Gonzalez. So I think that Conklin should be able to get to 30, 40, maybe even 50 receiving yards. I think like something like 4 for 40 for Conklin, I think, makes a lot of sense. So I think he will definitely get over 22.5. That is my biggest bet for this game.
Rushing props: Bijan Robinson over under 58.5, Breece Hall over under 54.5, Desmond Ridder over under 16.5, Tyler Algier over under 32.5. That, of course, is rushing yards. Rushing attempts: Bijan Robinson over under 14.5, Breece Hall over under 13.5, Desmond Ridder over under 3.5. Rush and receiving yards combined: Bijan Robinson over under 81.5. Again, that should be an easy one, but I'm worried about Arthur Smith. Breece Hall over under 87.5. Drake London over under 44.5. Garrett Wilson over under 53.5. Tyler Algier over under 36.5. Longest rush: Bijan Robinson over under 14.5. Breece Hall over under 13.5. Desmond Ridder over under 9.5. Tyler Algier over under 11.5.
So what sticks out to me is the first of all, I like Bijan's receiving more than rushing. I know the Jets have been run funnel, and they've allowed a lot of rushing yards to running backs this year. I believe they're in the top 10 as well against that. They are sixth in allowing rushing yards to running backs. However, I think this is a matchup where they can just load the box and just not be afraid at all about the opposing quarterback. Like they played against so many tough quarterbacks at home that I mentioned earlier. Like, this is the easiest one, I think. And like, I just think that they can really focus on stopping Bijan from running and force Ridder to throw. So I like Ridder at Robinson over 58.5 rushing yards may look easy to some. I just don't know if it's going to hit. Not that I would go under either. I think the number is about right. But I said, I'd rather go Bijan receiving than anything. Breece Hall over 54.5 rushing yards, I like better. Atlanta, if you look at Atlanta's season long stats, they are actually pretty good against the run. They're just outside the top 10. However, they've gotten worse against the run ever since they lost Grady Jarrett. They've allowed some big games to running backs. Derrick Henry, for example, he went over 100 yards recently against them. So I think that Breece Hall could have a good game, especially if the Jets are ahead, like I think they could be. Tyler Algier under 32.5 rushing yards, I think that seems like the easiest bet here. Arthur Smith has gone to Bijan a lot more recently, and Algier's workload has kind of fallen off. And like, if I'm right about the Jets stacking the box, like, I don't think Algier is going to get much when he gets the ball. And then second, the Falcons just might be too far behind in this game, or maybe not too far behind, but like, if they're trailing, like I think they are, they're not going to really be in position to run the ball. So I think that if you want to bet Algier under 32.5 rushing yards, it makes sense. What you could do also is parlay the Algier under 32.5 rushing with the Jets plus two. I think that makes a lot of sense. It correlates very well, because if the Jets are ahead, then Algier is not going to run the ball very much. So, of all these, I think Algier under looks the best.
Defense and special teams props: sacks: Bud Dupree, Calais Campbell, both are over under 0.25. I like Calais Campbell on that one. Total tackles: CJ Mosley over under 10.5. Jesse Bates over under 6.5. I would go with that one. Jordan Whitehead over under 4.5. Nate Landman over under 7.5. Quincy Williams over under 7.5. Richie Grant over under 5.5. Field goals made: Greg Zuerlein and Younghoe Koo, both are over under 1.5. I like both of those. Kicking points total: Greg Zuerlein over under 5.5. Younghoe Koo over under 6.5. Extra points made: Greg Zuerlein and Younghoe Koo, both over under 1.5.
So I say this every time we look at kicking props. I think it makes sense to go with the kicker you think is going to be on the team that is ahead. Because if a team's ahead in the third, fourth quarter, and they're at the 30-yard line, they have like a fourth and four at the 30, like, they're going to kick the field goal. Whereas the team that's behind, they're probably going to go for it. So we were talking about that parlay before. You know, you could put Jets plus two, Tyler Allgeier under 32.5 rushing yards, and you could put in Greg Zuerlein over 1.5 field goals. I like that more. So I think that the Jets are going to be ahead. But I also don't mind the Younghoe Koo one either, because the Falcons really struggle in the red zone. They tend to kick a lot of field goals. That's why a lot of their scores, if you looked at their results, they have a lot of like 12s and 15s and 18s and 19s. It's just because like they just kick so many field goals. However, I mean, there's two issues with this, and this is why I wouldn't bet Younghoe Koo, and I would rather have Greg Zuerlein. Like, one, Younghoe Koo has had some injury issues, so I don't know if he's healthy. I imagine he's healthy enough to play, but he just may not be 100%. So they may not try a field goal with him. And second, the Jets defense is so good that the Falcons just may not have that many red zone opportunities. So I would definitely prefer Zuerlein over Younghoe Koo. And just taking some stabs on these over a quarter sacks guys. I think that just makes sense because you really only need to hit one to do well, and if you hit multiples, you're looking pretty good, and both offensive lines are very good. So, you could see a decent number of sacks in this game.
Touchdown props. Bijan Robinson, plus 155. Breece Hall, plus 180. Garrett Wilson, plus 235. Drake London, plus 275. Tyler Allgeier, plus 310. Tyler Conklin, plus 425. Kyle Pitts, plus 425. Jason Brownlee, plus 600. Alan Lazard, plus 600. Desmond Ridder, plus 450. Xavier Gibson, plus 700. Jonnu Smith, plus 550. No touchdown scorer at all, plus 2,000. Dalvin Cook, plus 850. Matt Collins, plus 700. Jeremy Ruckert, plus 850. Tim Boyle, plus 850. Falcons defense and special teams, plus 850. Jets defense and special teams, plus 850. Scotty Miller, plus 850. Cordarrelle Patterson, plus 800. Van Jefferson, plus 850. Israel Abanikanda, plus 1,400. CJ Ozama, plus 1,600. Keith Smith, plus 1,500. Randall Cobb, plus 1,700. Nick Bawden, plus 2,000. Irv Charles, plus 2,500. And John Fitzpatrick, plus 2,500.
So what really stands out to me here is, like, maybe you tell me what you think about this, but this is a game where there may not be that many touchdowns. In fact, it's funny that no touchdowns is 20-1. And first touchdown score is remarkably higher than any time touchdown score. Like, what if the first down touchdown score is the only touchdowns in this game? And it's like, so I would rather just bet the first touchdown score in this game. And so for Bijan Robinson, for example, you go from plus 155 to plus 600. Breece Hall, you go from plus 180 to plus 650, et cetera. What I think is interesting about the Breece Hall thing is that Atlanta, like, even though they've been worse against the run lately, they haven't allowed a single rushing touchdown to a running back this year. Now, they've allowed three receiving touchdowns to running backs this year, so maybe Breece Hall gets in there that way. But, if you're going with the plus 650 first touchdown or plus 180 overall, again, I'd rather go plus 650. You're going against history there, so maybe I wouldn't do that. And plus 650 is not too exciting for first touchdown anyway. I think Garrett Wilson plus 800 looks better. The one I like better than that even is Tyler Conklin, a plus 1,500, as I said before. The Falcons have just been really bad against tight ends this year, so Tyler Conklin could definitely get there. And if you're talking about Conklin, you might as well mention Jeremy Ruckert, who plays about 25 snaps per game. His first down scoring pop is 28-1. That seems like a decent value against a team that can't stop tight ends at all. Maybe it's Jeremy Ruckert is the game and not Tyler Conklin. So I can see Ruckert getting there, being the only touchdown scorer maybe, and 28-1 sounds pretty good. So not much else to like here otherwise, because like I said, you're not expecting too many touchdowns in this game. There might only be one or even zero you might take a shot on. Maybe this is a 12-9 Jets game and you have four field goals versus three. I guess definitely see that.
Walt, since you brought up first touchdown scorer, let's go through that one as well. Bijan Robinson plus 600, Breece Hall plus 650, Garrett Wilson plus 800, Drake London plus 1200, Tyler Allgeier plus 1200, Tyler Conklin plus 1500, Kyle Pitts plus 1500, Jason Brownlee plus 1800, Alan Lazard plus 1900, Desmond Ridder plus 1900, Xavier Gibson plus 2000, Jonnu Smith plus 2000, Dalvin Cook plus 2000. 2,500. Mac Hollins plus 2,500. Jeremy Ruckert plus 2,800. Tim Boyle plus 2,800. Jets defense and special teams plus 3,000. Falcons defense and special teams plus 2,800. Scotty Miller plus 3,000. Cordarrelle Patterson plus 3,000. Van Jefferson plus 3,500. Israel Abanikanda plus 4,500. CJ Ozama plus 5,000. Keith Smith plus 5,000. Randall Cobb plus 5,500. Nick Bawden plus 6,500. Irv Charles plus 7,500. And John Fitzpatrick plus 7,500.
So, yeah, like I said, I think I'd rather take a stab at the tight ends. Tyler Conklin's 15-1. Jeremy Rucker, it's 28-1. So you want to take some dart throws there. I think that makes sense. Jets defense is 30-1. That could easily be the only touchdown scored in this game. So I think that's worth a shot. People listening to this probably not Falcons fans. So I wouldn't say, like, you want to take a shot at the Falcons at 28-1. I don't think that's the worst thing, given that Tim Boyle is just really not that good. But I think that the Jets, I'd rather much have the Jets defense than Atlanta defense at pretty much the same price. Something that doesn't make sense is that first touchdown score for no touchdown is 22-1, but no touchdown score at any time is 20-1, or that's the last touchdown. So I don't really understand that. So no touchdown at 22-1. Again, this could be 12-9, 9-6, with just a lot of field goals. So I think that is worth a shot too, but my favorites are the two Jets tight ends.
Walter, now that we've gone through all the betting props for this Jets Falcons game, let's get to your picks from around the league. Who you like this week?
So, in addition to the Jets, and I like them quite a bit at plus two, I like a few games. So, Panthers, they were plus 5 to +6, in that range for most of the week, and now they're down to plus 3.5. Looks like a lot of sharp actions coming in on Carolina. Not really surprising. First of all, the Panthers fired their head coach, Frank Reich, and teams have done very well after firing their head coach since 2010, the lockout. The lockout year, a lot has changed since then. The teams that have fired their head coaches are 15-10 against the spread, and Tampa is really not good in the first place. Second, they have a ton of injuries. They're missing both their main linebackers, Devin White and Lavonte David. Their top cornerback, Jamel Dean is out. And matchup-wise, I think this really favors the Panthers for two reasons. One, offensively, the Panthers love to target Adam Thielen. He's had a ton of tough matchups recently. But Tampa Bay is one of the worst teams in the NFL at defending slot cornerbacks or slot receivers. Defensively for the Panthers, they stopped the pass pretty well. And Chris Godwin sounds like he's going to be out. So really, they only have to worry about Mike Evans, and they're already good against the pass. They're getting their top two cornerbacks back from injury, J.C. Horn and C.J. Henderson. They're returning. So that's going to help the Panthers defense out a lot. Panthers are weak to the run, so I expect Rashad White to have a good game, but he's not the type of guy who can carry a team. I think the Panthers win this outright, so plus 3.5 looks pretty good to me. Miami's minus 9 against Washington. I think this is just a big mismatch here. Miami's passing game against Washington secondary. The Washington secondary has allowed the most production to passing games, especially outside receivers in the NFL this year. And you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle going against that. It seems like such a big edge in Miami's favor. I don't know how Washington sticks with them. As I said earlier, Miami's defense has been better recently. So I feel like the Dolphins should be able to win that game pretty easily. Eagles are plus 3 against the Niners, which is insane. On my show, which you can find on YouTube, just type in Walter Football After Dark or just Walter Football. I broke this game down a couple times, and everyone in the chat it called me crazy for liking the Eagles. And I'm like, the Eagles are the best record in the NFL, and they're 3-point home underdogs to the Niners. It just doesn't really make much sense. I think this is a 50-50 game where, you know, either team can win. It's on a coin flip, and to get a plus 3 in those situations, I think is pretty good. I think the Niners might be a little bit better than the Eagles, but I think the Eagles match up well against them because they have an elite offensive line, so they can keep Nick Bosa and Chase Young at bay and give Jalen Hurts enough time. The only weakness of the Niners defense is their outside cornerbacks. I think that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith should be able to do well against them. And then when Brock Purdy has the ball, the Niners, they obviously want to run the ball with Christian McCaffrey, but the Eagles have a top three run defense in the NFL. So I don't see the Niners having this big offensive explosion. And everyone's looking at this as being a revenge game. I think that the motivational edge actually favors the Eagles because they're disrespected as home underdogs, and the Niners have talked a lot of trash. I could see those. I could see Jason Kelce rummaging through his basement right now, just digging through his the boxes to find those underdog masks that they had in the playoffs during the playoff run in 2017. I think we're going to see those if the Eagles went outright. Two more games. I like the Browns at +4 against the Rams. This is one of my lower plays. I do like the Browns, though. My only concern is Myles Garrett's health. It's like he's going to play, but he may not be 100%. But if he's looking pretty good, and maybe you can like judge this and live bet it, if he's looking like pretty dominant, I think the Browns should be able to beat the Rams. I don't understand why the Rams are favored by 4. They really don't have much going for them outside of Stafford being healthy, and then you have Cooper Kupp's not even healthy, but they have Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams looking pretty good. But Cleveland's defense is so good. They have the best unit on the field in this game. I think their defense is going to dominate, get the Stafford. And we've seen like Stafford when he's protected versus when he's rattled in the pocket. It's just so different. It's like night and day. And of course you can say that about a lot of quarterbacks, but Stafford especially, he just breaks down when he's pressured a lot, and the Browns are going to get to him as long as Garrett's healthy. So something to watch out for. If you're watching this game late after the Jets game, and then, you see Garrett looking good on the first drive, I think I'd live bet the Browns. And then Monday night, Bengals are +9 against the Jaguars. And it seems like everyone loves the Jaguars. And I think this line's too high. I don't think the Jaguars are that good. They're ranked 25th in defensive EPA. Their left tackle is out. Travis Etienne is banged up. And the Bengals, this is a much easier matchup for them than it was last week. Last week, they played against the Steelers. They lost 16-10. Jake Browning, their backup quarterback, looked really bad. But this is a much easier game for him than the Steelers defense led by Tomlin. When you have a rookie quarterback with no experience playing against Mike Tomlin, it's just such a big edge for the Steelers. But Jacksonville's defense has been really bad against the pass. The Bengals are getting T. Higgins back, so they have Jamar Chase and T. Higgins against a team that has been really bad against outside receivers. So I feel like the Bengals should be able to move the ball decently. I think this could be a field goal game. Like I see 23-20, Jaguars winning, but the Bengals covering the spread. So yeah, those are the WalterFootball.com Week 13 picks.
Walter Cherepinski, owner and founder of WalterFootball.com. Thanks so much for coming on and breaking down the Jets and Falcons prop bets, and of course giving your picks from around the league in this Jets-Falcons pregame report. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out everything you're doing over at WalterFootball.com, what are they going to find over there, and how can they follow you on social media?
Yeah, you can just check out WalterFootball.com. All of our content's free. We have tons of mock draft content. We have tons of draft content with tons of mock drafts updated every single week. We have picks against the spread. We have fantasy rankings, DFS content. We grade every signing, grade every coaching firing, grade every trade. And then in the offseason, we're going to grade, we're going to have free agency rankings and stuff like that. So yeah, check us out at WalterFootball.com on Twitter /X, whatever you want to call it. We're at WalterFootball. And then, like I said, on YouTube, we do a show that's 4 nights a week. Just type in Walter Football. You'll find us there. And yeah, thanks, Scott, for having me on. It's been a blast.
Always a pleasure having you on, Walter. Looking forward to talking more with you throughout the rest of the season, especially once we start getting into the nuts and bolts of the draft. Make sure you check out everything that Walter and Charlie are doing over at WalterFootball.com. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. We've got some awesome All-22 breakdowns on our channel, so watch those videos and subscribe if you haven't already. YouTube.com/PlayLikeAJet. Visit our store, TeePublic.com. That's TeePublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quentin Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there. TeePublic.com. That's TeePublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.